listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
Hello and welcome to Viewpoints on today's show. Well, I'll be out and journalist Pamela Hassan will take over this episode of Viewpoints with the documentary produced in Smithers, British Columbia. And we'll stay outdoors with her and her guests contemplating the great scenery of BC's Whitsitt Canyon. That is where Abigail Joseph goes fishing for salmon.
We are in heaven. My heaven. I absolutely love it here. We're at the Whitsitt Canyon and there's massive falls, beautiful green turquoise water going into this rush of this heavy flow. It's so powerful, like being so close up to it and feeling the power that comes from these falls is just incredible. And it's my heaven. I absolutely love it here. Salmon is a huge symbol in my life. More recently, I never used to fish. I started and then I left the res, never really came back much. I just started to get back into it because I realized how good it is for my family and how much we eat. And having become a mother, I'm so focused on feeding them good, healthy foods. This is the best it gets, is this fish here, freshly caught, freshly processed. And it also means family.
Welcome to Viewpoints Local News Nationwide.
You are on the air with Viewpoints. Listen to all our stories on frequencynews.ca.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Viewpoints. My name is Boris Chassagne-Well. I'm off on vacation and during that time I'll have the great pleasure to have three journalists who will be filling in for me over the next few weeks with three great documentaries. And Pamela Hassan, posted in Smithers, British Columbia, is up this week, bringing us a great documentary telling the story of Abigail Joseph. She's an Indigenous woman, mother of two young children, and provider for her family. In 2022, she gave birth to her son, Theo, and 8 weeks later was back on the slippery boardwalk of Whitsitt Canyon while her mother kept watch over her son and alerted Abigail when it was time to come ashore for his feedings. Abigail's commitment to fishing for her family's food year-round exemplifies the new generation of Wet'suwet'en change makers. These young leaders are boldly redefining gender roles and forging deep connections with the land, all while honoring their ancestral traditions and experiencing the change in the environment. So, how did Abigail start fishing? Who taught her? Does she feel connected to her heritage when she's fishing? Audiences nationwide will hear learn about the life of Abigail Joseph and also the method of dip netting, a traditional fishing method. Listen as we meet with Abigail Joseph and the Wet'suwet'en Fisheries Executive Director Walter Joseph, as well as Abigail's mother. Here now is Pamela Hassan's documentary.
He was washing the blood and the guts off of the rocks that he gutted the fish on to leave it in good condition, but it's also respect for the canyon.
That's Abigail Joseph, speaking to me on the rocks beside today's fishing spot at the Whitsitt Canyon in northern British Columbia. Abigail and her brother JJ, two of her nephews, along with her seven-month-old daughter Mia Maud, have spent the morning fishing for salmon using the traditional dip net method passed down for generations of Wet'suwet'en fishers. All right, so Abigail's putting the rope around her waist. Nice long piece of orange rope, which is attached to, it's called the ladder, which is kind of like a steel gate that we're walking on. Oh, and I already have mist on my camera lens. I'm perched on the rocks above the ladder where Abigail is fishing, and I'm looking down, taking photos of her. I am absolutely on edge here, watching her fish and just shocked at how fast she's moving. I think you can hear it in my voice how excited I was when I saw her pulling up the meters long pole with the net full of fish on the bottom of it.
Holy! Oh my God!
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. There's nine fish. Oh my God.
Washing her hands. Wow, that was a lot.
If you've never witnessed someone dip net fishing before, it can be exhilarating. It's muscular and fast. And the bright turquoise water of the Wet'suwet'en in Whitsett, a First Nations community along Highway 16, is not water to be taken lightly. No one is rafting here or swimming. This is serious water and demands respect from those Wet'suwet'en fishers brave enough to perch along rocks and ladders for those sleek, jumping fish fighting their way back up a river. This story is about one of those fishers, Abigail Joseph. Abigail is a mother of two young children and provider for her family. In 2022, she gave birth to her son Theo, and 8 weeks later was back out on the slippery boardwalk of Whitsett Canyon while her mother kept watch over her son and alerted Abigail when it was time to come ashore for his feedings. Abigail's commitment to fishing for her family's food year-round exemplifies the new generation of Wet'suwet'en changemakers. These young leaders are boldly redefining gender roles and forging deep connections with the land and water, all while honoring their ancestral traditions and experiencing the change in their environment. This is a special episode of Viewpoints, produced and hosted by me, Pamela Hassan, from CICK News in Smithers, British Columbia. Can you describe where we are?
We are in heaven. My heaven. I absolutely love it here. We're at the Whitsett Canyon, and there's massive falls, beautiful green turquoise water going into this rush of this heavy flow. It's so powerful. Like, being so close up to it and feeling the power that comes from these falls is just incredible. And it's, yeah, it's my heaven. I absolutely love it here. It's a nice little valley that we're in, beautiful trees around us. We see lots of bears down the, up the river, and deers, and there's a fisheries, lots of hot rocks, which makes it really hot when we fish. But yeah, this is my slice of heaven.
It can't be easy for a young mother to stop everything in her day, request babysitting help from her mother, and run to the canyon because the waterline is right or the salmon are active. So here's Corinne, Abigail's mother, describing a typical day when Abigail finds that the fishing is good in the canyon and they head out to the water.
She knows my schedule, so which day I can and can't go. But in the summer, I only work 2 days a week, so it's lighter than the other days at the time. And so she would let me know, and usually when it's the season, we keep that on the radar, and it would be the first thing I would do if she calls me. I don't try to do other stuff as much. Then I say, yeah, okay, let's do it. And she stops at my house, and then we take my car, and then we can put the two baby in there. And then we go to the house, pick up the dip net, one or two. And we use my car, and then we park mostly on the side after the bridge. We have everything ready for the day, so we take lunch, we take snack, we take a blanket, we take chairs, water, and toys for the kids. Mm-hmm. And then she starts fishing, and she goes from one spot to another, and at times, so this year I was able to pack Mia and then make sure Teddy is close by. I just wanted him to look and see, not too close, but so they can see what mom's doing.
Salmon stocks are unstable. Due to the changes in climate and overfishing from Alaskan fisheries, BC salmon is not necessarily in abundance the way that it has been for decades prior to this point in time. Skeena Wild, a conservation trust, released this year's salmon returns, and the numbers are predicted to be normal to low returns for the Skeena and Wet'suwet'en, a trend of lower stocks each year since the heat dome of 2021. But Wet'suwet'en families have sustained life due to this river for centuries, and Abigail is the new generation of fishers participating in her rightful place in this cycle of salmon, life, and the Wet'suwet'en.
Hi, I'm Abigail Joseph. I'm 27 years old, born and raised in Whitsett, formerly known as Morristown.
And who is this with you?
This is my 6-month-old, almost 7-month-old daughter, Mia Maud.
Hi, Vimon.
You want to say something? Hey.
Are there many women fishing, especially dip net fishing?
There are starting to... There's more women starting to dip net now. Yeah. Back in the day, there was Betty Joseph, who was one of the first dip netting fisherwomen. She worked for the Wet'suwet'en Fisheries. She's incredible. So amazing at fishing. I was too young to witness her fishing a lot. I think I vaguely remember her fishing. I started fishing at 15. My sister doesn't fish anymore, but there are so many other empowering women who are fishing here. There's definitely become a lot more women doing it in the past couple of years that I've seen. It's usually typically been male dominated.
Yeah. Here's Walter Joseph, outgoing fisheries director for the Office of the Wet'suwet'en. You've spent decades on the Wet'suwet'en watching the water, watching the river, watching the fish, watching the people fishing. How common have female fishers been at the canyon?
When I started, they were pretty rare. The only one that sticks to my mind would be Abigail's aunt, Betty Joseph. She worked for our program for many years until arthritis became an issue for her.
Okay.
Yeah. She was the only one that I knew of. But once the runs started declining, I think it just became pressure for females who have families that, geez, we still need food fish, but there's nobody fishing, so I'm going to go fish.
Yeah.
So that became the norm. And I think one of our fisheries employees, Sherry Green, actually started just fishes running and there's nobody fishing, so we'll go fish. They said, let's go fish. So a bunch of them got together and they went down there and they started fishing. But Abigail, I don't really know when she started fishing. It's just in the last couple of years I noticed her down there. I think a couple of years ago I took a picture of her climbing around on the rocks in the canyon and some really crazy places. I was thinking, if she worked for me, she would not be fishing there. It's just too dangerous. But she was right in there.
What does salmon represent to you as a fisher and as a mother as well?
Salmon represents life to me. It feeds my family and it has for years. We grew up fairly poor, and if we didn't catch fish or shoot moose, like, we wouldn't have food for the winter. Salmon is a huge symbol in my life. More recently, I never used to fish. I started and then I left the res, never really came back much. I just started to get back into it because I realized how good it is for my family and how much we eat. And having become a mother, I'm so focused on feeding them good, healthy foods. This is the best it gets, is this fish here, freshly caught, freshly processed, canned and preserved within 24 to 48 hours of catching it. And it also means family. I remember growing up and I have five siblings, there's five of us, and we'd all be down here. My dad would be catching all this fish and then we would spend a couple days gutting the fish, filleting the fish, canning the fish, and it was always like the women, my mom and my sister, doing it. So fish to me also means family, because every time there's fish around, that means we're with family and we're fishing together and we're preserving together and we're learning together, because every year I learn something new. My mom is incredible and has helped me learn so much the last couple of years, and I never realized how important good food is until I've had children. Till I'm like, I want the food. The fish from the store is garbage and it's crazy expensive. It's my right to fish here in these waters because my ancestors did. So I want to definitely take advantage of my right to fish here because they're powerful, they're beautiful, and they connect me to the land and the water, which I feel is so important for everybody.
It's a critical piece of Wet'suwet'en culture. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of traditions built up around it. I think some of the oldest archaeological evidence of the communities are based on fishing. It's a long history there of food fishing. So I think that's a critical piece that the Wet'suwet'en need to protect and ensure it continues.
So you were saying earlier about how you want her to be able to fish here as well, but talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I applied for their status card. I have my full status, and when I applied for my status card, it was denied due to a second generation cutoff, according to the Indian Act, which I think is very unfair because she's just as native and she's got the same blood that runs through me. She should have every right to have her status card. And if she doesn't get it, she will not be able to come and fish here freely like I can without me, right? She won't be able to catch as many as she can for her family in the future without that status card. And that's thanks to the Canadian government.
Yeah.
So I think there might be a loophole. I'll have to reapply for a under a different section for my status card, which will then hopefully give her some Indian status according to the government. But yeah, it's unfortunate that I have to even fight for this because they're my children.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to dispute my children being enough Indigenous to qualify for this. I think that's absolute BS.
Yeah. It feels like you're forging a new path for your daughter, right? But you're also using such traditional methods. So do you feel like you're a traditionalist, or do you feel like you're the next generation of young Wet'suwet'en women?
I feel like I could say I'm both. Yeah. I am very traditional in many ways, and I would love to be more cultural, and that is traditional. But I do feel like I remember a girlfriend of mine. She started fishing. She's from here, and she started fishing, and she was fishing in places that I was too afraid to fish.
Okay.
But then once I saw her fishing there, I'm like, I can do that too.
What was
absolutely?
Why did you not want to fish there? Like, what was scary?
I never thought I could. My brothers also said, "Oh, it's too strong for you." So I was like, you know what? They know all of these holes. They've been fishing since they could freaking hold a dip net. They know these holes. They know their sister. And I've not always been a bigger woman. I feel like I've always been a bit smaller, more muscular, but they know their sister and they care for me. So they were like, yeah, I think that's too strong for you. They also don't want to lose their dip nets, right? If something goes wrong, it's not just me falling in, but we're also losing a dip net, which costs hundreds of dollars to replace. So they're also like, I don't want you to wreck our dip net and I care about your life. So I don't think you should fish in this hole. My girlfriend, Nat, would not let anyone tell her she can't do it. And she'd go and dip net. And I'm like, man, if she can do it, I can do it. And then she would encourage me to fish there as well. We loved to encourage each other. And I found that once I saw her doing it, I was like, I can do that too. And my brothers were skeptical, but I tried it and it wasn't as hard as they said it was. It was hard. Don't get me wrong. It's all really hard, but it just takes practice to learn the waters, to learn the current, where the fish are. And yeah, to me personally, I haven't been able to get out much because I just had a baby in January.
Yeah.
So I went and I was fishing a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of the salmon run, and the water was still really high and I haven't worked out much. So it was really hard to catch fish. So to me, it wasn't the best year, but I've heard that there was a pretty good run a couple weeks ago, and now there have been an incline, I believe, in the last few years. But for me right now, I definitely haven't caught as much fish as I normally do.
Yeah,
because I have two kids.
Under two?
They're all within two. Yeah. Teddy just turned two, and me and Maude is 7 months old.
Before you were fishing, Abigail, did you feel like there was a part of you missing, or was it like a something clicked in moment when you realized that you wanted to do it? But who do you think you were before and then after you started fishing?
I've grown so much, mainly also because I did become a mom and my priorities have changed, and I see the world so differently since becoming a mom. But I do feel like fishing has had a lot to do with that. I drank a lot when I was in my late teens and early 20s. And I do feel like in the summertime especially, people drink more because of the sunshine. And I quit drinking and I started fishing more. And I just feel like that was a really good outlet for me, because I would come every 2 days for a couple weeks. But it was also discipline, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to continuously throw your net out there, fight against the current, gut the fish. It's so hard to crouch down in your natural resting position and gut fish by the river. It is so hard. I didn't know how hard it was until I was doing it, and I was gutting like 20 fish one day, and I was like, I had to always stand up and rest, and then you gotta pack that fish out yourself. And I don't have, like, my boyfriend's working. He's typically working during the salmon run, so he's not down here helping. But my brothers were not usually around either. So it's just my mom and I, yeah, my kid. And it's hard work and it's discipline to want to do it, but it's also like a healthy outlet to release energy, because you're using so much of your energy and channeling it into your dip net to catch that fish. By the end of the day, you have had an successful fishing day, and even a bad day of fishing beats a good day of anything else. Yeah, it's pretty funny, but I always think of that. I'll come here and catch nothing, but it'll still be one of the best days that I have of the summer.
Young girls that are maybe, let's say, 15 now or something like that, do you think they see you? And do you think you're for them what, when you saw women charging these waters, do you think that's who you are for any 15-year-old girls out there?
I've never thought of that, but I sure hope so. I remember growing up and always telling myself, I want to be someone who I needed at 15. And I do feel like I do a lot of more masculine roles. Like, I like to fish and hunt, and I'll get a fish, I'll get bloody, I'll get dirty. I'm not afraid of that. I followed my brothers around everywhere. I loved to do outdoorsy things. And I do feel like me being out here as a woman, it does help other women think, hey, if she can do it, I can do it. But yeah, I would hope that I am that kind of role model for some of the young girls here, because I know it is so important to have those people to look up to.
It's something that I grew into, and try to come up with a program that will meet the community's needs. Mm-hmm. And something that became really apparent is how important the food fisheries are,
yeah,
to the Wet'suwet'en. Protecting those resources and meeting their needs for food fish,
yeah,
I think, are the critical issues,
yeah,
for the Wet'suwet'en.
In your time in Whitsett, did you ever see Betty Joseph fishing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was... that's the only one I remember of woman doing it for years. Mm-hmm. She was pretty strong, yes. And then I was pretty excited when Abby wanted to do it, because I thought, yeah, that's awesome. Pass it on for more women to be there, because there's not too many.
Yeah.
My other daughter, Joy, did it for a bit, but she's not doing it anymore. And then there's Natu and a couple of other girls.
Yeah.
It's not many, because it takes a lot of strength.
Yeah.
And then if you have babies like Abby, you have to have someone else to help. I could stay at the house with the kids, and then she can go on her own, but because she's still breastfeeding baby girl,
yeah,
she can't be gone too long. She feels so good about catching the fish, and I think there's some kind of adrenaline to doing that and pulling two or three fish back out from the canyon in the net. And yeah, it's quite a big thing. She's excited about it.
Did you ever get nervous watching?
I was just more proud. Yeah. And I trusted. I know she wanted to do it. I trusted her, and I knew she was strong because she was doing a lot of exercise, especially last year. And no, I never had fear, just like when my husband was doing it or my boys. But my husband did fall in the water 2 times in his life, but he had the rope. They have to have the rope. Mm-hmm. And then they pulled him out.
Okay.
But Abby never failed, and yeah, she will not fall.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. It was hosted and produced by me, Pamela Hassan, for CICK News in Smithers, British Columbia. Thank you to my guests, Abigail Joseph, Corinne Joseph, and Walter Joseph, for speaking to me about Abigail the Fisher, who caught my eye in 2022, and I was so grateful to have the opportunity to finally visit at the canyon and speak to her about her love of fishing. Music for this episode of Viewpoints was found on freemusicarchive.com and purpleplanet.com. Viewpoints is the Community Radio Fund of Canada's national weekly radio program. Funding for Viewpoints is provided by Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiative Program.
So much to Pamela Hassan and her many guests for filling in for us this week. A great documentary about people doing unusual things while keeping traditions alive. Viewpoints is brought to you by the Community Radio Fund of Canada with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. For comments, story ideas, or just to tell us more about yourself, you can write to us. Our email is radio@frequencynews.ca. Our website is frequencynews.ca. That's it for us this week. Until the next Ciao.
Radio@frequencynews.ca.